Thank you to the Manhattan Institute and also to the chroniclers of Wisconsin, Jason and Larry, who through their work have, as is appropriate, allowed me to step back and see things that, I couldn't see from the belly of the beast. And I learned a heck of a lot about poverty and also government from both of them. When I came to Wisconsin, I had a problem, and I had what I thought was a solution. The problem, there was a twofold problem. One is welfare didn't connect work to benefits, and in that sense, it separated people from what is a central function of humankind, work. The second problem that I confronted was that government is almost never in a position to really make a radical change in some individual's life. Government is a very imperfect tool. Government is for the most part not particularly effective as an administrative agency, and especially as an agency of an inspiration. So with these two thoughts, I stumbled into what was an enormous opportunity that I recognized as such at the time. An enormous opportunity was that as a result, as chronicled in both of these accounts, Governor Thompson's work over the 10 years prior to my coming to Wisconsin had created an environment in which both sides, liberals and conservatives, had decided to end the system. So the state legislature passed a law ending the system, and the governor gave me the opportunity to lead the work group to redesign a work-based system. That never happens in real life in government. You don't really get a chance to start with first principles and come up with a plan from de novo. But that's exactly what happened in Wisconsin in this one instance. And so when we sat down and thought it through, what we wanted to accomplish was we wanted to attach welfare benefits to work to make it just like a job. We wanted to look to the working low-wage working poor as a comparison model, not to people already on welfare. We wanted people to look for alternatives to welfare, if at all possible, rather than coming on welfare first and then helping them try to get off. We wanted to have a light touch, meaning we wanted, if people didn't need assistance of any kind, we didn't want to set them up with it just because they were eligible for it, because when you add more and more benefits to an individual, it makes it more and more difficult to become self-reliant. We wanted parents to take responsibility for their families, not for the government. And finally, we wanted to find a way to have the private sector and performance standards and contracts be the vehicle to create a market-based agency for change rather than the old command and control system that I was used to in government. And in this last case, to do so, what we wanted to do was create a very, very strong and formal philosophy that was articulated, number one, and number two, drive it to its conclusion using non-governmental vehicles. And so for that reason, we divided Milwaukee into five units and then had a competition. There were good things and there were things that didn't work. And they're chronicled well in these accounts. These are masterful accounts of what happened. Both Jason and Larry's book are conceptual. They talk about the philosophy. They're very detailed and nuanced relating to the political and administrative functions. And also they look at the outcomes, both from the data and from the individual lives of people who were affected. I think if you took the two books together and read them, it's a real graduate course that in government and in poverty that you couldn't replicate anywhere. And we should note that a political science is going through a corrupting period, in my judgment, in which more and more discussions and books and academic tenure is being based on looking at data sets and making comparisons and statistical correlations rather than doing the kind of legwork that Jason and Larry did to go out and talk to people and utilize your intellect to kind of formulate an analysis. That kind of a book now is increasingly rare in this field, and I think that's an important lesson for all of us. I want to conclude by saying a couple of observations. How much time do I have? 4 minutes, okay. One thing that comes through to me in reading Jason DeParle's account, I worked on the streets as a landlord in a low-income area of Washington, D.C., where many of the problems that Jason chronicles I encountered firsthand as a low-income landlord. That is the complete and total utter breakdown of any kind of order or any kind of cultural leadership by parents to children or by employers to workers, people to one another. There is a dissolution of connections between individuals and children that is profound and very disturbing. During the course of Jason's chronicling of these families, I would estimate there were half a dozen murders of people associated in one way or another with the characters. I'm just guessing. Jason mentioned food not being in the refrigerator. And yet, these three families all had access to food stamps. There were profound, profound problems that were endemic to what was going on in their lives, so much so that it would seem to me that the first step for those of us engaged in how to preserve and strengthen society from where we find it right now is to protect the areas of society in which these profound problems don't yet exist but are on the margins of it, protect them from going to those locations and protecting them from the scourge, from the fire, from the damage of the of these cultural problems. Jason DeParle pointed out, and I think it's something that I learned from his book, that access to work alone did not alone, it was a necessary but obviously insufficient vehicle for reforming the underlying problems in the culture of the underclass. And Jason uses the term underclass, although it was called into question by members of the left of center as something that we, a word that was impolite, but I think it's a very descriptive word and one that should be brought to bear. My own theory as to what's going on and the cause of it is that the underlying wealth of our country, after a certain point, makes it less and less important for people to and society to have the kinds of connections and responsibilities that in most of history are required for survival. There's more wealth now, and there's more access to wealth, so that if you have a baby out of wedlock, it doesn't spell death anymore. Not that it should spell death in our culture, but I think all of these kind, the excessive wealth that we have in our country is possibly partly responsible for the weakening of the social structure, and I think that's a central theme that I obtained from Jason. Thank you.